This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa man wala ba'd. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, welcome to the first day of the LEC in Bangalore. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming and to make this a means of guidance and a means of earning His pleasure, inshallah. I want to begin by a quote of Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, which is very appropriate, I think, to the occasion. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi said, "A person will always interpret everything he hears according to the light which dominates his heart." I repeat that. Imam Al-Ghazali said, "A person will interpret everything he hears according to the light which dominates his heart." Now, if you think about this, let me give you a couple of examples. A very literal, physical example. We are seeing things in a certain way because this is white light that we are sitting in. Supposing this turns into red light, then the color of the tablecloth will look different, and something else will look different, things will look different, people's complexion will look different because the light has changed. So also in the heart. When the heart is illuminated with the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, then we see reality in its real form. Then we see the means of hidayah in the way it is meant to be seen. But instead of the light of the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our heart is filled with our own ananiyat, our own arrogance, "I am somebody, I am this great sheikh, I am this so and so." If the heart is filled with that, or if the heart is filled with shubuhat and with shukuk, with all kinds of doubts and with all kinds of the wasawis of shaitan, then whatever we hear, we interpret it according to that. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this very beautiful example, and He mentioned the highest of the means of hidayah. What is the highest of the means of hidayah? The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith which you hear in every Jumu'ah khutbah, "Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah." The most truthful of speech is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah." Now this kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this kitab, "Yahdi bihi kathira wa yudillu bihi kathira." Many are guided by this book and many are misguided by this book. The Quran did not come for misguidance. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, why is He saying, "Yudillu bihi kathira," that many are misguided by this book? Because He then said, "Wama yudillu bihi illa al-fasiqun." And He said, but nobody is misguided by the Quran except the fasiqun, except the rebellious people. So what does it mean? The way the Quran al-Kareem is received in the heart decides whether the Quran will guide or misguide. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began His book with Surah Al-Fatiha. But after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudallil muttaqin." Allah did not say hudallil fasiqin. If Allah had said hudallil fasiqin, hudallil mujrimin, hudallil mushrikeen, this would have been appropriate because this is the hidayat for those who need the hidayat. Just think about this. Who needs the hidayat? The one who is fasiq, he must come out from fusq and fujur. Who needs who needs hidayat? The mushrik, he must come out from shirk. But Allah did not say "Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudallil mushrikeen." No. Hudallil muttaqeen. Taqwa is the precondition of hidayat. The way you approach the Quran will decide whether the Quran will guide you or not guide you. Illa mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide who he wants and so on and so forth. I'm saying this is what the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claims. That this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a guidance for those who approach it with taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa, if you read any translation, English translation, taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. Those who fear Allah. If you read a Urdu translation, it will say, jo Allah se darte hain. But taqwa is not the fear of Allah. And the reason I say that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the condition of the believers. He defined the condition of the mu'mineen. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the mu'mineen are who? Ashaddu hubban lillah. Walladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. The people who believe are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. Shadid, the superlative form of Shadid is Ashad. Ashad hubba lillah. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anything else. So now if you say these are the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else, what is fear? Fear is a negative emotion. Fear produces hatred. Fear does not produce love. You know, if you take your small children who go to school, there may be some teacher they dislike, they hate. They fear the teacher because the teacher punishes them or beats them or something. And you ask the child, do you obey the teacher? Yes, I obey the teacher. Why? Because the teacher beats me. Do you love the teacher? No. One day if the teacher does not come to school, oh, alhamdulillah, very nice. So, fear produces hatred. But Allah is saying, who are the believers? Who are the mu'mineen? They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashaddu hubba lillah. Nazir muhabbat karte hain, balki shadid muhabbat karte hain. Not only do they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they love Allah more than anything else. So, how do you put these two together? The two come together in taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the fear of offending, the fear of displeasing the one we love the most. So therefore, the more you love Allah, the more the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also increase. So when a person approaches the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this kalam becomes a means of guidance for this person. Many times when you talk about tazkiyah, when you talk about purification of the heart, people say, but I'm busy with something else. I'm busy reading the Quran. I'm going for Umrah. This is like somebody who has got defective eyesight. The person is blind. Or the person has got, very bad eyesight. And if you tell him, please come and get your eyesight corrected. Come and get a cataract operation done so that you can see properly. He said, no, I'm going sightseeing. I'm going to climb the top of Kilimanjaro and I'm going to see all the sights. I don't have time for correcting my eyesight. Does it make sense? How will you see the sights when you can't see? What is the good of, I'm not saying don't make Umrah, by all means please go and make Umrah. But what is the good of making Umrah after Umrah after Umrah after Umrah after Umrah? What did you get from this? Because you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have not recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart has no purification of the heart. The heart is not illuminated by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla Jalalu. You are making Umrah after Umrah after Umrah. For what? Please make Umrahs. Please make any number of, I'm not against making Umrahs. Please make Umrahs. But go with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then make the Umrah. Then you see the fun of it. Then you see what you gain from this Umrah. It was for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four things to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a ni'mah on this ummah, on the believers. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, has given this ni'mah to the believers. Please understand, Allah did not say He gave this ni'mah and the ni'mah is the Quran. No. Allah said the ni'mah is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because we got the Quran through the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahi did not come to you. Wahi did not come to me. Wahi came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah said that the ni'mah on the ummah is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ba'atha fihim rasulam min anfusihim. So two ni'mat. One ni'mah is the Nabi himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the second ni'mah is the Nabi is from among you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the believers. And please understand, Allah did not say, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى أَهْلُ الْمَكَّةِ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى أَهْلُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ or something. No, Allah did not say, Allah has blessed the Arabs. Allah has blessed the people of Makkah. No, Allah has blessed the believers. No matter who the believer is, as long as he or she is a believer, is a Muslim, the ni'mah is for that person, whether the person is Arab or person is Indian or person is Pakistani or person is American or Australian or African. No, it doesn't matter. The ni'mah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a ni'mah for the believers. And the ni'mah is, as I said, twofold. One is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And second, he said he is from you. Therefore, it is a matter of honor for us. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did he send Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do? Four things. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. To make tilawat, to recite the ayat which he received. The ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa yuzakkihim. And to purify them. Please notice the four things and please notice the sequence of those four things. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitab. And to teach them the kitab. Which kitab? Which has already been recited. Wal hikmah. And wisdom. Now take these four things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to complete this ayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that before this, min qablu, fi dhalalim mubin. Before this, they were misguided. Before the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the coming of the hidayat, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent through his Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people were misguided. Right? Now, four things. First one is, Yatru alayhim ayati. Tell them what you have received. Announce. Inform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus salah. This is the ayat, Aqimus salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received it. And what was he told? Please announce. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you, Aqimus salah. Establish salah. Again, one of the many mistakes in translation that is done. Anytime you see Aqimu Salah in English translations, it will be written there. What is normally written for Aqimu Salah? No, it is not written. Look at the English translation. Find me established player. It will never be written established player. Where? Take it out. Okay, take it out. Normally it will be say perform prayer. Perform the salah. Go look it up. Establish iqamati salah, establishing salah. Allah did not say perform prayer, do prayer, make salah, read salah. Allah said, establish salah. Aqimu salah. So Allah has given this information. Inform. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Aqimu salah. Now, you have received this and you say, Alhamdulillah, we are ready to pray. Now, how to pray? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us how to pray in the Quran? Can anybody find me the method of salah in the Quran? Is it there anywhere? So what sense does it make? You give a hukum and we don't know how to implement the hukum. Does it make sense? So is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you saying that it has no sense? Na'udhu billah. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two kinds of wahi. Wahi matlu and wahi ghair matlu. The wahi which is recited in salah and the wahi which is also wahi but which is not recited. What is that wahi ghair matlu? Wahi ghair matlu is the methodology of implementing the wahi matlu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a hukum and then he gave an explanation of the hukum in what we call wahi ghair matlu, which we also know as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah, which is the hukum. The method of implementing the hukum came in a different form. Aqimus salah is recited in salah. How to establish salah is not recited in salah. This was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a beautiful hadith where a whole lot of youngsters came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they spent about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From all over they came. So the narrator of the hadith, if I'm not mistaken, it is Ka'b bin Malik radhiyallahu anhu wallahu alam. He said after 2 or 3 weeks, some of us got homesick because they came from distant tribes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely sensitive to the atmosphere. He was very sensitive to people around him. So he immediately noticed that these boys are getting restive. They're feeling maybe they want to go home or something. So he asked them, he said, are you feeling homesick? They said, ya Rasulullah. Now, they are in a dilemma. How to say? Because they want to go home, but also they want to be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't want to leave here, but they are remembering their home and their parents and so on. So they said, ya Rasulullah, now what to say? So he said, no, you can go home. And then he said, when you go home, establish salah. And he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, when you go, pray as you have seen me pray. Pray as you have seen me pray. How did he pray? He prayed the way we pray, alhamdulillah. But this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught people. How to pray. So if somebody says, only aqimus salah is the wahi, but how to establish salah is not wahi, then it means Islam is not possible to implement. But this is, the reason I'm giving you this example is because this is an example of what happens because the heart is guided, the person understands by the light which dominates his heart. So when the light which dominates your heart is your own ananiyat, is your own arrogance, then you do not understand this. Then you make all kinds of, because in your heart is what? In your heart is your own hawa, your own desires, your own khawahishat. You do not want to actually follow Islam. So what do you say? You say, no, all these ahadiths, these are a waste of time. All these ahadiths were collected 200 years later, 300 years later. They are all false. We don't have to follow the hadiths. Okay, fine. Now what do you do when time for salah comes? I don't know. Because I rejected the method. The method was taught by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, no, sorry, I don't want that. Okay, no problem. Allah has given a hukum, aqimus salah. How do you establish salah now? And what is the importance of salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Faman aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, the ahad, the covenant, the promise, the dividing line, the differentiator between others, between them and us is as-salah. Faman aradaha, the one who has left it, Fakat kafara has committed kufr, he has left Islam. So Allah said, Aqimus Salah. If you do not establish Salah, you are not a Muslim. Wallahu alam, whether you are Muslim or not, you have exited Islam. And you want to say that the way to establish Salah, we don't know. That doesn't make sense. But why do the people say that? Because the light which is illuminating the heart is not the light of the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is some other light. It is the light of your own hawa, your own nafs, your own ananiyat, your own arrogance. That is the reason why, if you take the khawarij, if you take the mu'tazilat, if you take the people who deny hadith, if you look at those people, they are pious people. The Khawarij, for example, were so God-fearing, they were so pious, that our muhaddithun, our a'imma, have taken some hadith which have been narrated by the Khawarij. Now you might say, how do you take a hadith which is narrated by somebody who is known to be from among the Khawarij? See the hikmat of the ulama. They said, we take this man's narration because the aqidah of the Khawarij, and this is the false aqidah, this is not our aqidah, this is not the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah. The aqidah of the Khawarij was that if a person commits a major sin, that person will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be in Jahannam. Now, this is a false aqidah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself promised to forgive anyone who makes tawbah. So, if somebody says Allah will never forgive you, this is haram, this is kufr, because Allah taqnatu min rahmatillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if somebody says Allah will never forgive you, we don't accept this, sorry, Allah will forgive if a person makes tawbah. Many things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives even without that through His mercy and grace, but definitely if a person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person. If the sin he committed is among the huququllah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. If it is for huququl ibad, if the person has wronged somebody else, then he must make amends, he must compensate that person, he must go and apologize, then inshallah Allah will forgive him. This is our aqidah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah for forgiveness. Don't we make dua for forgiveness? But the aqidah of the Khawarij was not this. The aqidah of the Khawarij was any major sin, you are in Jahannam, khalas. Now, you might say, well, you know, major sin, I never murdered anybody, I did not commit zina, or I did not drink alcohol, telling a lie is a major sin. Among the kabair is telling a lie. Unfortunately, we have created a society which is based on lies. So for us, telling lies is, maybe we believe that, you know, telling lies is among the hasanat. Allah will give me 10 rewards for every lie. Our society is based on lies. That is the problem. Telling a lie. I'll tell you why I'm saying it is among the kabair. Because one of the sahaba, one young man, he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have lot of problems in my life. I commit a lot of sins. I do lot of wrong things. And he narrated, he said, I do this and this and this. But I want to reform myself, but I can't give up all these things. So if you tell me leave everything, I can't leave everything. So tell me one thing which I should leave. Now see the question. He said, I am doing all this. Maybe I am drinking alcohol, maybe I am committing zina, whatever he was doing. All of these things I am doing, I want to reform myself, but I cannot give up everything. Tell me one thing to give up, I will give up that. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell him stop drinking alcohol? Did he tell him don't make zina? No. He said stop telling lies. Do not tell lies. So the man must have thought, well, okay, this is easy one, no? Don't tell lies. So he said, Jazakallah. He said, inshallah, I will not tell lies. Now, he goes home. Time for him to go and hang out with his friends in his pub. What does he think? He's about to leave. Then he said, if tomorrow I meet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asks me, where were you last evening? What do I tell him? I promised I will not tell a lie. I can't go to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and say, I was sitting in a bar, you know, drinking. I can't tell him that. I said, no, let me not go to this place. Next sin, thought comes in the mind. I want to go and do that. Then the thought comes, if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks me, what do I tell him? I can't tell him I made zina. I can't tell him I deceived somebody. I can't tell him I slandered somebody. I can't tell him I did riba. No. So by that one single thing, that one not telling lies, the man's whole life reformed. That is how important it is. No telling lies. So the reason why our Aimma and Muhaddithun, they took some ahadith from the Khawarij is because they said the aqeedah of the Khawarij is Allah will never forgive, therefore he will never lie. He knows if I lie, I am going to Jahannam. Allah will never forgive me. So if he is narrating a hadith, it has to be correct because he will never tell a lie. That even though his aqeedah is false, even though we don't accept the aqeedah, according to his aqeedah, he cannot tell a lie. Therefore, he speaks the truth. The reason I am saying this is to close the loop with the issue of what illuminates the heart. So when the thing which is illuminating the heart is not hidayah, you will not see what is right. The first of the indicators of the Khawarij. A man came to Rasulullah immediately after the battle of Hunain. And he grabbed him by the collar. And he said, Ya Muhammad Adil. He said, Oh Muhammad, do justice. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very insulting way of talking, very disrespectful way of talking. He is talking to the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is first of all handling him and then he is saying, Ya Muhammad Adil. Ajib. And this man is a Muslim. He is a Muslim. The Sahaba who were around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, somebody they put their hand on the sword, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. He said to the man, if I do not do justice, who will do justice? If I do not do justice, who will do justice? Then this man, he wanted something from Ghanima and so on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him, he left. When the man left, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, and remember, who is he talking to? He is talking to the closest group that is around him. He's talking to Abu Bakr and Omar and Talha and Zubair and Sa'd bin Mu'adh and all of these people who are around him. Not Sa'd bin Mu'adh, he had passed away. The other people who are around him, alayhim as-salam, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he's talking to them. And what is he saying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that man is not alone. He said, there are others with him. He said, a time will come when these people will arise. He said, they will read more Quran than you. Who is he saying it to? If he's not saying it to you and me, he's saying it to the Akabirin of the Sahaba. He says, these people, they will read more Quran than you. They will pray more than you. They will fast more than you. They will recite Quran more beautifully than you. But the Quran will not go below their throat. The Quran will not go below their throat. He said, Iman will enter them like an arrow enters the target and it will exit from the back as the arrow exits the target. On that arrow, there will be no mark of blood either on the head of the arrow or the binding or the shaft. Which means Iman will enter them and it will exit them. They will not be Muslim. What is he saying? Does he say these people will not pray? They will not read Quran? They will read Quran? No, he's saying they will pray. They will be praying. They are pious people. If you look at them, you will say, Wallah, big sheikh, mashallah. He's got a huge big beard. He's praying tahajjud and rakat after rakat, and nafil after nafil, and he's reading Quran all day, and he's making dhikr and this and this. But what is in his heart? It's not the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is his own ananiyat. It is his own arrogance. Tell me, how can a Muslim go and grab the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He became Muslim by saying Muhammadur Rasulullah. He became Muslim by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this is that Muhammad on whom you brought Iman sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You grab his throat, you grab his collar, and you say, Ya Muhammad Adil, you expect the Nabi to do injustice? Then what is your Iman? Where is your Iman? If you expect the Nabi to do injustice, where is your Iman? You are praying. What is that prayer? Because the light which is illuminating the heart is not the light of the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the light of arrogance. It is the light of nafs. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is why they are called khawarij. They are kharijul Islam, out of Islam. And this is what Imam al-Ghazali is saying in this quote. He said, a man will understand and interpret everything according to the light which illuminates his heart. Therefore, we must go back into our hearts and say, what is the light illuminating my heart? Very simple way of understanding. How do I know what is the light? Just see your own actions. When the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, when any order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before me, do I obey or do I argue? Very simple. Islam is a very simple deen. There's no complication in Islam. Very simple. When the hukum, when the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before me, what do I do? Do I obey or do I argue? When the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes before me, what do I do? Do I follow the sunnah or do I follow something else? That's all. Do the self-test. And may Allah make you greatly successful in this, inshallah. But wherever there is a problem, immediately correct it. Immediately correct it. So, yatlu alayhim ayati wa yuzakkihim. All of this which I said is to do with the second part, which is tazkiyah. Allah said, inform them, then purify them. Allah said, aqimus salah. You come and say, Ya Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah, I am ready to pray. What must I do? Go make wudu. Go make ghusl. Look at your clothes. Are they clean? Look at the place of salah. Is it clean? Look inside yourself. Is your heart clean? Is your mind clean? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? Tazkiyatun nafs. Wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. External tazkiyah and internal tazkiyah. Yuzakkihim. And then what? Wa yuallimuhumul kitab. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. The Quran was revealed in which language? Arabic. Was revealed to whom? The Arabs. Till today, those of you who know anything about Arabic as a language and linguistics, and also if you understand or know, I have read Usul al-Tafsir, you will know that in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is ever a argument or if there is ever a question about the meaning of a particular word, what do the linguists do? They go back to the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, how did the Sahaba understand this word? What was the understanding of the Sahaba about this word? They don't say, how do we understand this word? No. What was the understanding of the Sahaba? So you are saying now the Quran was revealed to a people who completely understood it. They are the standard. Linguistically, they are the standard. Then what was there to teach? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. The ayat have been recited. Well, yuallimuhumul kitab ki kya zarurat thi phir? What was the need to say yuallimuhumul kitab? What is there to teach? I have told you, you have understood, khalas. So, but Allah is saying, yuallimuhumul kitab, what does it mean? It means there is something to teach. That is why the Nabi was sent. Otherwise, the kitab would have been sent on a mountain. لَوْ أَنْتَ اللَّهَ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ عَلَىٰ جَبَلِ اللَّهَ رَعَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِنْ خَشَيَةِ Book should have been sent just set the book, read it, understand it. Yuallimuhumul kitab, teach them the book. And that is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm continuing the same example of salah, aqimus salah, yuzakkihim, purify yourself, now come, now learn salah. learn how it is to be done. Is it in the Kitab of Allah? No. It is with the Nabi. Why did, think about this. What was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reason? Why did Allah not give us a detailed description of how to do salah in the Quran itself? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not submitting the Quran manuscript to a publisher, and the publisher says word count can be only so many thousand words, has to be only so many pages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given the entire description of salah. Salatul Fajr should be performed like this. Two rakah sunnah is very important, pray that. Then Salatul Dhuhr is so much. Salat Maghrib is so much. It's not four rakah, two rakah, three rakah. All these, is it not possible? Allah could have sent this kalam with all of these instructions. Koi Allah ko majboori thi kya? Kyun nahi kiya? Why did he not do it? To establish the importance of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. To understand and make you understand that if you leave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have left the deen. If you leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have left the deen. If anybody thinks that he can access Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is mistaken. It is not possible. You go to Allah through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not through anybody else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the method. How is the Quran to be, how is the salah to be done? He gave it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now taught him. Think about this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he said, the slave is closest to his Rabb in which position? In sujood. Right? In sujood. Then ask yourself, why does salah begin with qiyam? Why does, if you are in sujood, that is the place which is closest to Allah. What is the, by in terms of body position, which is the furthest away? Standing. From sajda to standing. So why is salah beginning in, why does salah not begin in sujood? What is the problem? You want to get close to Allah, no? So why should you stand? Why should the salah start with standing? This only Allah knows. I don't know the answer. I'm just telling you. That why do we do that? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Establishing of the importance of the Nabi alayhi wa sallam. Why do you pray the way you pray? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed like this. Today people make these utterly ridiculous arguments. They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily and truly, we have sent down the dhikr and we will protect it. And people make this claim, they said this refers only to the Quran. So Allah will protect only aqimus salah, these two words, and Allah will not protect the method of salah. Does it make sense? What is the worth of aqimus salah if we don't know what is salah? Does aqimus salah have any meaning? Has no meaning. Because I don't know what is salah. According to those who claim that the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be rejected, we should ask them this question. Inna nahanu nazzal, Allah did not say inna nahanu nazzal al Quran. He could have said this. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. The fact that we are saying the dhikra refers to the Quran, inshallah this is a correct interpretation. I'm not saying it is wrong, but it is our interpretation, it is our understanding of that. Allah did not use the term Quran. So therefore, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hukum and the method of implementing the hukum. This is what makes sense. So, يُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. What is hikmah? Hikmah is the way of implementing that thing. All that goes with it. The methodology, the demonstration. So, inform, purify, teach, and demonstrate. Complete way. Complete way. Think about it like this. Think of agriculture. Think of farming. We all understand farming and so on. Some of us have done it. Some of us, even if you didn't do it, you understand farming. So if you are a farmer and I bring for you some seeds, say, wheat. And I tell you, this is the best wheat. This is the most purest and the most highly high-yielding variety of wheat in the world, which I am giving you. Please, plant it and grow your crop. So now you take the wheat, it's very good wheat, and you go out in the field and you throw the wheat all over the field, and you are waiting for the wheat to grow. What will happen? Pigeons will come and eat it. How can it? What does the farmer do? We all know this. What does the farmer, when the farmer, if you give him the seed, what is the first thing the farmer will do?
Prepare the land.
The farmer will not even look, he will keep the seed. He will first prepare the land. He will plow the land, he will clean the land, he will check the pH value of the land, the acidity, the alkalinity. He will add lime to that if he has to reduce the acidity. He will add nitrates to that if he wants to increase the acidity. He will look at the organic matter content of the soil. He will look to see if there are any pathogens. If there are pathogens, he will treat it with insecticides, pesticides to ensure that the pathogens are all gone. If there are stones and rocks and thorns and stuff, he will remove all that. The soil is nice and friable. He holds it in his hand. Then he lines up his furrows, all the lines. Then he will make arrangements for water conservation. If it rains, the rain must stay on the land, must not flow away. He will do all of this work. He has not even touched the seed. So if you look at the farmer and if you do not understand farming, you will say the man is wasting his time. Why is he doing all this? The seed is there. But is he wasting his time? No. He is a farmer. He understands farming. So he is preparing the soil. He is doing all this. Then he will plant the seed. And then what will he do?
Take care.
He will take care. But what is the... He will water. He will irrigate the land. He will take the seed. He will plant the seed. He will irrigate the land. And what is this irrigation in terms of Hidayah? What is irrigation? The tears from the eyes standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are two kinds of eyes which will never see the fire of Jahannam. Allah will protect two kinds of eyes from the fire of Jahannam. What are the two kinds? The eye that weeps for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his glory and majesty alone. The slave is standing in the Hajjot, he is reciting Quran, he is weeping before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, accept my dua. Ya Allah, accept my salah. Ya Allah, I am nothing but nothing. It is your grace and majesty that you are even allowing me to recite your kalam. Think about this. We just heard the recitation in Tahajjud. May Allah bless our brother Irshad here. And his choice of the surah is very beautiful, mashallah. Surah Al-Muzzammil. After the first five ayat from Iqra Bismi to the first five ayat of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a difference of opinion whether it was Surah Al-Muzzammil or Surah Al-Mudathir which came first, but these are the first revelations after that. After Surah Al-Alaq, first, not the whole surah, the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq, the next revelation is either Surah Al-Muzzammil or Mudathir. Now what is Surah Al-Muzzammil? Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. This is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very loving address of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah did not say, Ya Muhammad, come. No. Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. Oh, the one who is wrapped in garments and sleeping. Qum al-layl. Stand in the whole night. Qum al-layl. How much? Al-layl. The full night. Illa qalila. Except for a small part. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That is why it is very, very important to learn Arabic language and to understand at least the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must understand what you are reciting. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qumil layl illa qalila. Except for a small part. Nisfahu wa bin qusminu qalila awzid alayhi. Maybe half the night, maybe three quarters of the night, maybe more, maybe less. And then do what? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way. No hurry, no fast, brrr, like an express train, no. Sukoon, chance. Ajeeb, gharib, amara to Allah rahim kare, abhi aari tarabi. Yeah, tarabi ke andar jo tamashe karte hamare paas log, Allah rahim kare, amazing. All kinds of stuff. The purpose of tarabi is to enjoy the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you read the kalam in a way where you can't even understand what you are saying. I mean, it's so fast. All the rules of tajweed have gone. Everything is gone. You are destroying the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you doing that? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Why? Why must I do this? Because there is a big responsibility that is going to be given to you. Qawlan thaqeel, a very heavy word is going to be given to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nashiyata al-layl hiya ashad wat'an wa aqwam qila. Verily the standing in the night is very tough. It's not easy. We know it's not easy. But this is the best thing to discipline yourself. And it is the best thing to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this being done? For the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into your heart. You have to go and do this difficult work. What must you do? You have to make a long call on your phone. What must you do? Charge the phone. You don't want the phone to run out of charge midway and now you don't know my phone is dead. No. Charge the phone. What is the charge? Is this standing in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the fire, the irrigation is the tears. Two kinds of eyes which will not see the fire of Jahannam. Inshallah al-Musta'an, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. One is eyes which weep for the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other are eyes which stay awake for the security and defense of the Muslims. Whichever way that might be. There are people who are reading and researching and writing and so on and so forth. They are not fighting battles. But this is very important because this is something which is, you are combating the attacks on Islam. And this amounts to, inshallah, the same thing. The time that you spend in that, you are reading your religion, you are understanding your religion because you want to practice your religion, because you want to express this and present this to the world. Inshallah, the time that you spend doing that, please understand this does not apply to chatting on Facebook chat rooms. Don't think this applies to that. No, I am sitting all night on Facebook. I am giving dawah. You are committing haram. If you are in a chat room with some non-mahram woman, that is as good as being sitting in a room with a non-mahram woman, which is haram. You are not giving dawah, you are committing haram. Get out of all this nonsense. All this social media is rubbish. Trash it. It is trash. Throw it where it belongs, in the garbage. Connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to stay awake in the night? Read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to stay awake in the night? Make dhikr. Make pray tahajjud. Pray nawafil. Otherwise go to sleep. Alhamdulillah. No problem. This is the meaning. And that is why tahajjud is so important. I always tell people, if you take nothing from me, take this one thing, which is pray tahajjud. Anybody who is serious about success and does not pray tahajjud is not serious about success. If you are serious about success and you are not praying tahajjud, then you are not serious about success. We run big Islamic institutions and organizations. Call all your people and say, how many of you prayed tahajjud today? That will show you how successful you will be. With the Sahaba, nobody left it. This surah, Surah Al-Muzammil, in the Asbab al-Nuzul of this surah, Sayyid Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first 19 ayat and then He revealed the 20th ayah from Inna Rabbaka Ya'lamu Annaka Taqumu to the end after 1 year. And she said that for 1 year, the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed tahajjud every single day as if it was fard, because it was fard. Tahajjud came, the hukum for tahajjud came in the first year of revelation. The hukum for the 5 fard salawat came in the 12th or 13th year of revelation. The five salawat were not there in the first year of revelation. But tahajjud was there in the first year of revelation itself. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray tahajjud and the sahaba used to pray with him. And Allah is the witness of this. How do we know that the sahaba were praying with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because Allah said so. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thulusay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thulusa wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. Allah said, Allah is witness to this, that they are praying with you. So I'm not saying they were praying in jama'ah. Maybe they were praying in jama'ah, maybe they were praying by themselves. But they were praying and all of them were praying. And I can tell you, inshallah al-musta'an, none of them ever left the hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the 20th rakat as a rukhsa. As a relief. And Allah said, we know that some of you may be traveling and some of you may be fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some of you may be doing something else, but still pray. Allah did not say leave it. He said you still pray. Recite as much of the Quran as you can recite. But recite Quran. That is the importance of tahajjud. So we began by saying that we will interpret everything we hear according to the light which dominates our heart. How can we ensure that the light which dominates our heart is the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nur? By praying tahajjud. By constantly checking ourselves to say, am I disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way? Am I going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way? Inshallah al-Musta'an, if we do these three things, it's very simple. If we do these three things, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and our hearts will be illuminated by the light and nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, the nur of hidayah. And then whatever we hear, we will interpret it correctly. And we will not argue against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And we will not may allow our arrogance to get the better of us. Inshallah, we will be on the right path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to keep us on the right path till the last moment of our life and to take us in a state of sujood in tahajjud, reciting His kalam and reciting His tasbih, inshallah musta'an. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.